This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yes. Oh, so what the state did today was they changed this from a full-blown hearing that it was scheduled for to a status conference. So what the difference being that the judge really only wanted to do procedural things today as opposed to make decisions about issues. So when the state spoke through the Attorney General's office, they essentially said the strike is over, they said. And they said there's the memorandum agreement, and they were going to modify the contempt charges. They were going to eliminate the jail part of their request and simply stay with the financial part of their request. Now, the financial part of their request is for somewhat over $3.5 million per day. And so they're staying still with that. They did eliminate prison, but they're still staying with that. So I got up and spoke about the issues. So I got up and spoke about the fact that for the court to bring contempt in any form, financial or imprisonment, they have to balance equities between the state and the correction officers. And so I articulated the reasons for the strike. So I went on to explain that they admit that they are only 70% staffed. That in and of itself is a major, major consideration because people are being asked, correction officers are being asked to work 24 to 48 hour shifts. No other worker in the state could be mandated to do that. But New York is mandating correction officers to work those kind of shifts. The second thing I articulated was that we have legislated, bought, and paid for body scanners to be put in every prison, and they are there. But they are voluntary. Voluntary. That means that deaths of prisoners do not have to go through the body scanners, and therefore they do not. That means, as a result, that drugs and contraband often get into the hands of inmates. Mail and packages are also not screened as of today. That puts inmates' hands on drugs. Inmates on drugs are much more violent. They admit that inmate violence on inmates has doubled in the last 3 years. They admit that there's an 81% increase in inmate violence against correction officers. Then we talked about the HALT Act. No consequences for inmates that break the rules. They throw urine, feces at COs. They spit at them. All of those things without consequence. Now, I brought up the fact, and I had attached to my papers Dr. John M. Violante is a PhD research professor at the University of Buffalo. He has done substantial research on correction officers, and his research bears out the following. HIV and AIDS in prisons is 2.5 times that of the general population. So when inmates throw urine, feces, spit, or fight with blood, COs are vulnerable. Secondly, and this is totally amazing to me, the lifespan of the average correction officer is 16 years shorter than that of the average American. There is a 27% post-traumatic stress among correction officers. The suicide rate for correction officers is double that of police officers and more than double the general population. The divorce, stress, physical and mental disorders of corrections officers, much higher than the general population. So all those things need to be taken into account when you decide on punishment. Now, here's one of the main arguments that I made. The taking away of medical insurance for these correction officers is in no way under the Taylor Law. The Taylor Law only allows two penalties. The one penalty is the 2 days' pay for each day on strike, and the second penalty is contempt that has to come from a court. I called it the heavy hand of Hochul in terms of her taking away medical benefits from people. The second heavy hand of Hochul is in her disallowing family medical leave, people that are on workman's comp, people that have legitimate medical excuses. She has taken those people's medical insurance away and punished those people when, in fact, they are not AWOL. They have legitimate reasons not to be there. So I went on to explain all of these things. The judge let me put all of this into the record, but then wanted to go back to the procedure. And what he essentially did was he adjourned this matter to March 20th at 4 o'clock, which is going to be a virtual hearing, to find out where things are because of the memorandum of agreement. But I pointed out then, here's what the memorandum of agreement basically says. First of all, it says 85% of the pre-strike level of employees need to return to work and continue to work in order for the provisions of this memorandum of understanding to be operational. So the memorandum of understanding doesn't work, according to its own paragraphs, unless 85% returned, and they acknowledge that 85% have not returned. The other thing, and the biggest complaint of most of my people, is when you read the memorandum of understanding, here's how most of the paragraphs start. It starts, docs will investigate and pursue a contract. The parties will continue discussions. The parties agree to continue to resolve any outstanding issues. The parties jointly agree to establish a committee. The joint goal is to minimize work loads. Those paragraphs are not concrete. They're all promises. They're all willingness to sit down and talk. But this is supposed to be an understanding, an agreement. And what it is an agreement to come to an agreement, to have discussions to reach an agreement. That's what it is. So it is the basis of the right types of discussions, but it doesn't give correction officers concrete decisions about whether or not the HALT Act will, in fact, be minimized, whether or not those body scanners will be used, whether or not they will be able to go home after a regular eight-hour shift. There's nothing in here that really articulates those in hard facts.
There was a big crowd gathering at this from corrections officers. How many corrections officers and family members would you say there were in the courtroom today?
Over 200. Over 200 people showed up. When I went to three parking lots that were full. So they showed up in full force. I asked them to be there to show their solidarity and their support, and they certainly were there. So the court saw it. The court understands the effect on these people. This judge, in my opinion, clearly sees the what I want to call the heavy hand of Hochul. But he, in his judicial temperament, he's trying to balance things, and we'll see where it takes us.
The governor issued an executive order that the fired corrections officers would no longer be allowed to work for New York State in any capacity. She's also recommended that they be removed from the list of peace officers and police officers, which means they would have to find another line of work. Your reaction to that, is that another heavy hand of Hochul?
That's exactly right. That is another heavy hand of Hochul. Tell me where you've ever seen that before. Tell me where you believe in this country or in this state she can paint you to that extent. That is absolutely wrong, absolutely improper, absolutely unreal. The Eighth Amendment to our Constitution, our United States Constitution, says that punishment cannot be cruel and unusual. And what she has done, in my opinion, is cruel and unusual. One of the people I had the benefit of talking to through this is Phil Rumor. So, as you know, Phil Rumor was the president of the Teachers Association Federation for 42 years. He went to jail as head of the union to support his people. He thinks that what Hochul has done is completely beyond what the Taylor Law allows. He's shocked and dismayed that she would take away medical insurance and hurt people's families, hurt their families. I have heard from various corrections officers, dozens and dozens, but a few of them stick out in my mind. A correction officer's wife has cancer. She needs chemo, but the insurance is canceled. What does he do? Another correction officer's son is on dialysis. What does he do? Another correction officer's wife had a kidney transplant and needs medication so her body doesn't reject the transplant. What does he do? And what these people do is they have to first take care of their family. So they're intimidated back to that workforce. That's what she has done. What she's doing is she has intimidated this workforce down to a level where she is now terminating people. This is only the last few days. She is now terminating the rest of them because her intent is to close the prisons. That is, again, the heavy hand of Hochul.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.